Hello friends, Denny Pruto here with a lesson on 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. As some of you may know, I'm a proponent of the fact that structure helps us with meaning. That is, the structure of a text helps us understand the meaning of the text. And this is true with the text that is before us today, verses 18 through 29 in 1 John chapter 2. You'll notice that verse 18 begins with, "Children, it is the last hour." And similarly, verse 28 balances verse 18, "Now, little children." Verse 18 and verse 19 also speak about the coming of Antichrist. Listen, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have appeared." And verses 28 and 29 speak about Jesus Christ coming and appearing. "Listen, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming." You see, verses 18 and 19 are balanced by verses 28 and 29. These verses form bookends on our text. And then if you look at verse 20 in the text, verse 20 speaks about God's anointing. "But you have an anointing from the Holy One." In a similar way, verse 27 also speaks about the anointing. "As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you." And so these two sections of the text balance each other. This means that verses 24 and 25 are in the center of the text. And there's a sense in which the ends of the text point toward the center and emphasize that portion of the text in the center, and the prominent theme of the text is therefore in the middle of the text. Well, keeping this in mind, we derive this main lesson from 1 John chapter 2 and verses 18 through 29. Given the coming and appearing of Christ and Antichrists, and the guidance of Scripture and the Holy Spirit. We'll speak about Scripture here in a moment. We've all already mentioned the Holy Spirit. Given the coming and appearing of Christ and Antichrist, and the guidance of Scripture and the Holy Spirit, if you show discernment and let the message of Christ dwell in you, then you abide in the Father and the Son, and you are born again. You notice the conditional statement here. If you show discernment and let the message of Christ dwell in you, then you abide in the Father and the Son, and you are born again. Now let's just briefly go through the text and see how this main lesson comes out of the text. Verse 18, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have appeared, from this we know that it is the last hour." The idea of the last hour means that it is the last period of time in history before the second coming of Jesus Christ. The word day or the word hour may indeed refer to an age or a period of time. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4, Moses says, Moses speaks of the day in which the Lord made or created the heavens and the earth. That is the period of time in which the Lord made the heavens and the earth. In the same context, it's quite obvious that the word day refers to a 24-hour day. But in this particular text, Genesis 2:4, it refers to a period of time or an age. Similarly, the last hour here refers to this present age in which we live. And we take this in context. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, Paul speaks about in 2 Thessalonians, is coming. He's coming in the future, yes, but it is the last hour now. Even now, many antichrists have appeared. That is, those who oppose Jesus Christ. They have already appeared. They are on the scene. And we know that's true today also. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not really of us, for they had they been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that they would be shown that they all are not of us. That is, those who oppose Christ are individuals who were within the pale of the visible church. They made a profession of faith, but it appears that they were not born again. They made an outward profession, but that confession was not central to their hearts and being. They were not born again. And so they separated themselves from the visible church. This is what John is talking about. And now he turns in verse 20 to those to whom he's writing. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. What is this anointing? Well, verse 27 helps us out here. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you. The anointing can be something that's poured out upon you, as oil was poured out upon the heads of those anointed in the Old Testament. But here the anointing is something that abides in you. And as we take the word anointing in context, it means the Holy Spirit in you, changing you on the inside. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Verse 20 again, but you have the anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. The Authorized Version says, you know all. Well, it's impossible for individuals to know everything. People, creatures, are not omniscient. Only God is omniscient. The better reading really is, you all know. And verse 21 tells us what is known. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Yes, you have come to know the truth, which is in God, and which is in Jesus Christ. You have come to know the truth of Jesus Christ and about Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father, but the one who confesses the Son has the Father also. The truth is that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. The second person of the Trinity became man. He took on human flesh. He did so in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And having been born as a man and finding himself as a man, he became obedient. Yes, he lived a perfect life. He became obedient, as Paul says in Philippians. He became obedient even to the point of death, the death of the cross. He went to the cross as a perfect sacrifice to pay the penalty due to people like you and me for sin. He is the propitiation for our sins, as we've already seen. And Jesus Christ then rose again from the dead. He ascended on high. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. And from that position, he pours out the Holy Spirit. And we have received the Spirit, and because the Spirit has entered our hearts and enlightened our minds with regard to the truth of God, we know the truth. Verse 24, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, that is the truth concerning Jesus Christ. If what you heard from the beginning, and John speaks about this at the beginning of chapter 1, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, the truth of God, which is recorded in Scripture. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. Yes, if you receive the Son, you receive the Father also. And so verse 25 says, this is the promise which he himself made, that is Jesus Christ. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. What is eternal life? Again, eternal life is that you know God and you know his Son, Jesus Christ. This is eternal life, that you know God and that you know his Son, Jesus Christ. To know Jesus Christ and to trust Jesus Christ as the one who paid the penalty for your sins is to know God, and to know God is to know eternal life. Verse 25, these things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. There are those who are trying to wean you away from Jesus Christ. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit teaches you. Now, John does not mean that you do not need human teachers. John himself is teaching those to whom he's writing in this little sermon or this little tract. And the Apostle Paul speaks about Christ appointing apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Christ has appointed pastors and teachers in the church. And Paul says that we are to preach Christ, teaching and admonishing one another. And in Colossians 3:16, he says that the word of Christ is to dwell richly within us, teaching and admonishing one another. So Paul and John are not saying that we do not need teachers. No, teachers lay before us the truth of Scripture. Now, what does the Holy Spirit do? How does the Holy Spirit teach us? Well, you may recall, I mentioned to you going to Mammoth Cave in Kentucky and being led into the large cavern there and the lights being turned out so that we were in utter and pitch darkness. And I recall one of the guides shining a flashlight into the darkness of the cavern, and the beam of the flashlight dissipated in the darkness. And why did the beam of the flashlight dissipate in the darkness? Because there was nothing for the beam of light to shine upon. There was nothing for the light to reflect from. What is Scripture? Scripture, as we learn it, as we are taught it, and as it enters our hearts and mind, provides that upon which the Spirit may shine, and the Spirit illumines and enlightens our minds and hearts with regard to the truth of Scripture. It is thus that the Spirit teaches us, that the anointing of the Spirit teaches us. And we don't need someone to tell us what the meaning of Scripture is when we have the Spirit of God illuminating to our hearts the meaning of Scripture. And anyone who gives us information which is contrary to Scripture is of the Antichrist is opposed to Christ. The Holy Spirit, you see, is the Spirit of Christ. Verse 27 again, as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is taught you, you abide in him. Yes, the anointing, the Spirit, teaches you all things, not all things in the universe. The Spirit does not teach mathematics and physics. No, the Spirit teaches you all things that are necessary concerning life and godliness in Christ Jesus. This is the duty of the Spirit. And now we come to the end of the text, verse 28. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Yes, just as Antichrist is coming, Christ is coming again a second time in glory. And Christ will manifest himself and manifest his power against Antichrist and Antichrist and be victorious. And we will not be ashamed of Jesus Christ if now we accept Jesus Christ as the very Son of God, as the one whom God sent, and believe in his sacrifice as that sacrifice which cleanses us from sin, then we will be able to stand before God and to stand before Jesus Christ unashamed at his coming. Verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. How do you know that you're born of God? Well, you recognize Jesus Christ. And you trust in Jesus Christ as being sent from God. Yes, you believe in Jesus Christ and you believe in God the Father. And because this is the case, you are found in Christ and in the Father. The God of the Bible is Trinitarian, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The God of Islam and the God of the Bible are not the same God. The God of Islam is a false God. The God of the Bible is the God who sent Jesus Christ into the world. And united to Jesus Christ, you are united to God the Father by the power of the Spirit. And you recognize him as righteous, and you live righteously. This gives evidence of the fact that you are indeed born again. And so look again at the main lesson of 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. Given the coming and appearing of Christ and Antichrists, as we've seen from the text, and the guidance of Scripture. Yes, the guidance of Scripture is of ultimate importance. And the guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit enlightens the Word of God, the Scriptures, to our hearts and minds. So given the coming and appearing of Christ and Antichrist and the guidance of Scripture and the Holy Spirit, if you show discernment, that is, if you recognize Christ and reject Antichrist, if you show discernment and let the message of Christ dwell in you, the message which was preached from the beginning and is proclaimed now to you, if you let the message of Christ dwell in you, then you abide in the Father and the Son, and you are born again. You see, the new birth precedes letting the message of Christ dwell in you. You must be born again to allow the message of Christ to dwell in you. And so if you do indeed receive the message of Christ and trust Christ, if you show discernment and let the message of Christ dwell in you, then you abide in the Father and the Son, and you are born again. This is the message of assurance. And, of course, this is the main message that John has in his little tract, his little sermon of 1 John. Consider it, my friends, and review again the main lesson of 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 29. And rest in Jesus Christ. Be assured of your salvation. Thanks for listening.